All right, now then, and considering our chart here, we spoke about these different stages on an international basis. We spoke about the stage of Washington, D.C., a symbol of the holies of holies. And I'm not going through all the preliminaries this time because most of us are familiar with it by now. And here in Washington, D.C., the holies of holies, and then the United States, the inner courts. And then we spoke of the United Nations as being the outer courts. We spoke of the dragon, China, the dragon nation being admitted to the Union. And also the Pope, who is about ready to take over the international affairs through the Confederation of Nations from Washington, D.C. The red dragon was waiting to devour the man-child as quick as the man-child was born. So you can be sure that if the man-child of the many-membered body of the church is fixing to be born, then the red communistic dragon is ready to close in on the church right at this time. He's ready to come in on it and try to kill out that man-child. In the day of Herod, he tried to kill out the man-child and all the others. Kings like down there, Pharaoh tried to kill out Moses. Always tried to kill the man-child out. That was always the way that they did that thing, to try to kill him out. And you can be assured of one thing, if the man-child, which is the many-membered body of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, remember this. I refer a lot of times to you as the man-child. Brother Lonnie is the man-child. Brother Great is the man-child. Brother Tom is the man-child, because we have a number of people that run this pattern. But I want you to be sure of one thing now. When I say this, this doesn't mean that you're the man-child. There is but one man-child, that's the Lord Jesus Christ. We're just members of His body. But some people run in the specific pattern of this thing to denote the thing that's taking place. Some run as a forerunner. What I'm trying to say is, you as a body, you are the many-membered man-child, and the communistic powers is trying to kill you out. The communistic powers are trying to kill you out, and already they're closing on the churches. They're trying to tax the church. And we brought this out when Mary was heavy with child. The Bible said that she was carried up there to the city of Jerusalem to be taxed. And right now, about the time that the wound of the church is heavy with the man-child, and just about the time of this great, wonderful international birth of the church, then they're closing in on it to bring about the taxes. Alright, now then, what I'd like for you to notice is that already, I got some papers up here in a briefcase somewhere if I haven't lost them, already they've closed in on the churches, not only to try to tax the church, but they've closed in on the church to try to close up certain doors that don't have a certain amount of members. Just a little bit of a little bitty group, you know, they're not going to let them function, so they're going to close the doors on them. This is Herod's. Our Pharaoh's move to kill off the man-child. That's what it is. Because everybody that is religious body to go into a denominational thing and force it into a confederation of churches, and anybody that don't unite with it, they'll set a standard, already doing it, set a standard you have to have so many people in the church, or they'll close the doors. That'll keep any new body from coming in, any new births from coming in. That's the way it'll stop. God is going to stop the spiritual birth just like the physicians are stopping the natural birth in the time. Now the physicians are closing in on the natural birth because they feel like that overpopulation is coming to the world. Same way with Satan, he's closing in on the birth because he knows that the man-child is about to be born and he'd like to kill out everything that's coming up and just take the group he's already got. Now then, this Jesus that we speak of is so wonderful and so magnificent. And I love Him, don't you? I'm not Him. John said, I'm not Him. I came to bear witness of Him. And when He comes, you're not Him, but He will come because He's Jesus. He's Jesus of Nazareth, the only Jesus of Nazareth, the head of the church. But we are the members of His body, and we're privileged to be forerunners of His great coming. All right, now then, you see these things that we're speaking of? These things are not necessary for you to have salvation. Now, the simplest of the Gospels, whosoever calleth upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. I go out here with a message to the church, and I preach a simple message. I set up a big tent, and I preach a real simple message, because man looks on the outward appearance. And all I do is preach a simple message, and hundreds of thousands of people can come to God. The more simpler I keep it, the more they'll come to God. But did you know a preacher that preaches a simple message should know a complicated message? Amen. A teacher that teaches a child a little bit is supposed to know the whole thing.
Amen.
So I say these things to you if you want to be leaders in God. You have to keep it simple. When I go to preach to people in Mexico, I keep it simple. But now then, when I go to preach to people that are church members for the perfecting of the saints, I don't preach a simple message to them. I try to tell them about the mysteries of God, what little I know about them. To grow not only in the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, the fullness of the stature, but in the knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. All right, now we see these 1, 2, 3 stages here of the Washington, D.C. Holies of Holies, and the inner courts of the United States, and the outer courts of the United Nations. All right, now, we said the other night that you could find, within these outer courts, you could find the brazen altar. Isn't that right? Within the outer nations, you can find the brazen altar. You can find the lava. You can locate it. And then you can find the candlesticks. And then you can find the shewbread. And then you can find the diplomats and so forth, which is a symbol of the art. All of these things you can find in this great, wonderful mind of God as it reveals itself. Now, for instance, let's just look at it like this. Take the days of Noah. That was an ark. That was 40 days of the flood. Is that right? That was a perfect symbol of the Lord Jesus on the cross. How many of you know that as a Bible scholar? It was a perfect symbol of the Lord Jesus Christ. The Lord Jesus Christ was crucified. Isn't that right? Then he went into the heart of the earth. He came back. He was resurrected. And how long was he seen of the brethren? 40 days, the same time of the flood. Is that right? The ark. And then after that, what did he do? The Bible said the ark rested upon the top of Mount Ararat. Is that right? After that, Jesus ascended to the highest mountain of heaven. Is that right? Sat down at the right hand of the Father. Then a few days after the waters subsided, Brother Taylor, the Bible said that Noah waited a few days, and then he went out on the new earth. Isn't that right? And then you find the Holy Ghost coming about 10 days after Jesus ascended back. The ark went to rest on the great mountain. Then out of that came the new earth. Behold, I make all things new. That was a symbol of the new earth. He made you a new physical earth. And then the new earth and its type came in. Now all these great things happened just exactly the way God had them typed out. Now, there's a lot of things that I could say here that maybe you might not understand and maybe would understand. But we wouldn't have time to go into some of those things. And I'd like to just point out enough to where you can tell that God does work in symbols. So then 40 days here that he was seen of the brethren. Now, cleansing the earth, we see this great, wonderful thing. Jesus Christ made sin. He knew no sin, but he was made sin. Therefore, we see the crow that went out from the ark. Is that right? When sin was overpowered, we see the evil spirit. Is that right? Cast out of the body of sin. Is that right? And then we see the Holy Spirit, which was the dove that ascended out of the ark. Is that right? Am I telling this right? Then the dove came back with a leaf in its mouth. Is that right? Now, coming back to symbolize that life was at last on the earth and the waters of wrath was abated. All right, what happened on the day of Pentecost? What happened on the day of Pentecost? Didn't he come back bringing a leaf from the tree of life? Didn't he come back the Holy Ghost as a dove? You say, was it a dove, Brother Pike? When John was over there in Jordan, the Holy Ghost came down as what? He came down as a dove. On the day of Pentecost, he came back bringing a leaf from the tree of life. You say, why a leaf? Because the Bible said it would be for the healing of the nation.
Man.
And great wonders broke out. Now, this is not all that took place to show that this was right. Wasn't everything that took place. There was 3 stages to that ark. Isn't that right? Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. Is that right? It was pitched on the outside and on the inside. How? In the likeness of God. Is that right? Now, it was made there in the wrath of God's great rains come down upon it. And when the cleft came in the side of the rock, Christ Jesus, as it was with Moses, Moses, a symbol of the church back there, he said, I'll place you in the cleft of the rock, and I'll let my hand pass over you, and that you might see the glory of God. We see it through Jesus Christ, through the veil, we can see the glory of God. When they awoke, the Bible said they saw his glory. Is that right? All right, then the great ark was lifted up between heaven and earth, and there it rested after the wrath of God. Is that right? All right, then how did we get into the ark? There was a door, just one door in the side of the ark. When the Spirit went in, forthwith come blood and water, and through this, by the Spirit that went out, we are baptized into the ark. Is that right? Into the body of Jesus Christ, membership of the body through the coming in of the Spirit. I become a member of the body by the Spirit. Now then, is there anything else to this? There's so many things to it, I could never say them tonight. But just a few things to let you know what we're trying to say. Notice the three here. We got one, two, three, the three stages of the ark. That is, over here was one that was hanging on the cross. He was in the lower side of the ark. Is that right? In the lower side, you say, why? Do you say that, Brother Pike? Because he said, if thou be the Son of God. And God rejected him. He went down into the darkness. Is that right? The lower part of the ark. But what did the other fellow say? Lord, have mercy on me. This day you'll be with me in paradise. Is that right? So then we see all of these things. Whereas he went to the top, and this man, being in the beast realm, took the middle part of the ark right there. Now, is that right? Because in the middle part, I suppose, is where the door was, from what I can determine. It must have come in the middle part and went down or went up. So, we can see this here with the Lord Jesus Christ, but there's far more to it than this. Now, if you'll notice, over here, the ark was here, but notice we had the candlesticks and we had the shewbread here. Now then, when they crossed over Jordan, which is a symbol of the death, our resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ, when they went over that, then they begin to get the new corn. They begin to get the new harvest. And that's when the feast is. Now we've got this on tape somewhere where the feast of the Old Testament or outline entails what Pentecost was there, where the leaven was mixed in with the bread and so forth. They begin to eat leavened bread. Leaven is always a type of evil. Where do you find it? Leaven is a type of evil. And Paul said we're to keep the feast of the Passover with the unleavened bread of sincerity. It was also a type. We got them outlined somewhere in chart form and on tape. But what I'm trying to say is this. Until the veil of the temple was rent, nobody could go in to see the Ark of the Covenant, which was the mind of God in Christ. Nobody could get in there to the judgment seat, which was also in Christ Jesus. Nobody could get in there until the veil was rent. Nobody could do that. Now, it's the same way with the body of the Lord Jesus Christ here. When the veil of this outer man is thoroughly rent, then it becomes the altars of God for sacrifice and judgment and so forth. And until you conquer your outer man to rend him and take him away, you have no power nor authority with God. You've got to develop the mind of the Lord Jesus Christ if you're to be a judge of all the earth. For Abraham said, shall not the judge of all the earth do right? And the Bible said, the saints of God shall judge the earth. Is that right? All right, now, what I'm trying to say is whatever he was, that's what we are. Now, but the thing is, notice that after the 40 days, then came the new earth. Then came Pentecost. After the new earth. How many of you know this is bringing a little present day truth out? How many of you know this is a symbol of Jordan out here, Highway 78, the killer? Is that right? We brought that out, but, well, we won't get in that tonight. I just want to get a few more things here before I close. Now then, if you notice here, in these things, going over to Pentecost. Let's just take a look at it now, if we can point it out. Going over to Pentecost. What happened at Pentecost? We have the altar here, the brazen altar. Now, to Israel, we know that anything with a cloven hoof was considered clean. We know that their God was a pillar of fire, a consuming fire. Is this right? Are you listening to me, paying attention now? All right, because I'm going to close in just a few minutes. So, whatever you want to get, if I got anything for you, you want to get it. All right, now the cloven tongues of fire came on the day of Pentecost. It came as a fire because that's the way that Israel knew God, as a consuming fire. It came as a cloven tongue because anything cloven was clean. So they knew right away that it was clean for them to have. Now, the Bible said it set upon each of them. It set upon the head of them. Is that right? Why did it set upon the head of them? Because when they slew the beast in the Old Testament, they brought him inside. The man had to put his hand on their head. Is that right? And then came the power of death. Right as the Holy Ghost. Is that right? Now, it had a number of things here that happened on the day of Pentecost. There was the cloud. That was the pillar of fire. There was the cloud, which came in as that great wind. And then there was baptism at the day of Pentecost, which indicated this lava right here. You find what I'm saying? First, you come into the altar of repentance through Jesus Christ, believing here at the altar of repentance. Remember, this is the first thing. From on high, they put their hands on the head to kill them. Then they come right here to the fire. Is that right? Come right here to the fire, the brazen altar, for through repentance you accept this right here. You don't have any repentance unless you fall at the foot of the cross and call on the Lord Jesus Christ. So that's the brazen altar. You come to that, and then the next thing you come to was baptism. The Bible said they were out there baptizing in Jordan. Isn't that right? They were out there baptizing because the sacrifice then had to be washed or had to be cleansed. And this lava indicated these things. Baptism in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ for the remission of sin. All right, then another thing here, look at these candlesticks over here. First of all, let's look at the shewbread. The shewbread, what was that? After that you come to this baptism right here, what did you come to? You come to the unleavened bread of sincerity. Is that right? Through the doctrine of the 12 apostles. There was 12 cakes that they had out here, six in a stack right here. The 12 apostles' doctrines, the Bible said they went from house to house breaking bread. Is that right? They broke bread from house to house, for here was the teaching of the 12 apostles, the apostolic foundation of the teachings of the Lord. And then look over here at the candlesticks that enlightened this thing. From right here at Pentecost, that was the beginning of the church ages. And the church ages were seven great candlesticks that enlightened the earth, reaching over in a rainbow symbol from Pentecost all the way over to the coming of the Lord. Because this was the great light that was put out there for it. Then, what was it next? Here in this part, then came the holies of holies. First came the altar of incense right here. And then came the holies of holies. Is that right? All right. Immediately after this great thing happened, John was taken away on the Isle of Patmos. And here came in a vision New Jerusalem sitting down on the earth. And the Bible said John saw the ark of his testament and everything. Is that right? Now, but reaching on over with the church ages, where does this really come in? Over here in the Protestant age, my brother and sister. The Protestant age, because we're teaching this on a 1, 2, 3. And coming out of the United Nations of the brazen altar, coming into the inner courts right here with the unleavened bread of sincerity and the candlesticks and these kind of things. Then we come on over here to Washington, D.C. in the symbol and in the type. Why? Because now, like Catholics believe in church over state. Really, religion is supposed to rule from right here, and someday they'll do it, church over state, and then someday from Jerusalem, in the real temple of God, it'll be church over state, but it'll be God in the church over state. So then, what are you saying by that? I'm saying that the real ark of God's covenant is the Protestant age, wherein they are called to preach the gospel to every nation. The covenant of God, which is the word of revelation and the mind of Jesus Christ, is found here in the great United States, a religious area. Well, you say, well, I already know that. Well, I'm glad I'm not talking to you. I'm talking to them that don't know it. So then you see right here, these things are taking place every day for you and for me. And if you want to see it, well, you can see it. The Bible said, let him that hath an ear hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. Now, this thing has run a great, outstanding are paralleled as the natural historians come down and record it in a natural pilgrimage all the way from the eastern world of civilization to the western world over here where we're at now. Now, I've explained this a little bit in the last night or two, having to bring in a few other things, and that's all I'm going to try to explain tonight. I'm really sorry that we didn't get into it a little bit early, could have gone into some other things. But now, coming from this, having explained this pretty thoroughly now, I think you understand enough to where you can put in the additives. But now, we want to go from this as a United Nations and break it down to a United States in our next drawing or our next teaching, if we can. Bring it on down to a family tree in the final lessons and try to explain to you what we believe to be the present-day aspect of it to where the church is moving now. Now, we're running over a lot of things just to get these few things in. But if you get a continuity of it in your mind, then there's hundreds and thousands of things that God can give you if you're hungry enough. All right. I hope you've enjoyed what we said. Stand with us, if you will. May the Lord bless you. Paul said, shall I come to you in meekness, or shall I come to you with a rod? And I'm trying not to come to you with a rod, though I have to admit that maybe it's me, maybe I need to be more prayed up, but I just have one or two. The Bible said when the sons of God came to present themselves, Satan came also. And I see some of you that maybe you're Christians. I don't know. But I tell you, the way you act, you let evil spirits stay on you, perch on you, like an old crow the whole time we're here. And it really does hinder the anointing and hinder the work of God. It makes me fully ashamed that anybody would do that in the house of God. But I say again, may God help you, because you don't know what you're doing, and you will pay for it. You'll shorten your life by your disobedience, and you will pay for it in sorrow. I hope this don't come to your house. I hope it don't come to my house. It may come to my house. It may come to your house. But I hope it don't come to our house at all. But let's pray and ask God to help us to be better children of God. I don't believe there's anybody here that don't need to move up. I don't believe there's anybody here. And if you need to move up, then the Bible teaches that whatever you've got from God. Paul said, no man's got anything save he get it from God. He said, inasmuch as you've got it from God, then why act as though you've got it within your own self? So then let's thank God for it, and remember that God is the author and the finisher of our faith. I'm not scolding you. I'm exhorting you. I'm trying to tell you the seriousness of what we're trying to do for God. I'm not trying to put you under a bondage. We have a system whereby people come in and try to give money, contribute money in a systematic order. But do you think the people follow that? No, sir. Well, you got to have a brother here and a brother there. It's got to give somebody an offering over here and somebody an offering over here. Some. Now, that's all right. That's all right. Most of the brothers bring it in anyway. I hardly have a brother that won't bring it right in, and we run it through the books anyway, so the purpose is made void in causing a division between the brethren. Whoever it would be at any time, and we've had a number of them to do this. Now, I'm not upset at you, and I'm not scolding you about that. I'm not, because I don't want to put you in a system to where you can't obey God. I don't want to control you to where you do what I want to do. But I'm trying to get you to be systematic to God. Systematic to God and work as a unity. For the Bible said in the early apostolic church, they sold all that they had. They never went about giving offerings to each other. They brought it and laid it down at the apostles' feet, and they set up the church. Now, I'm just telling you what the Bible said. I'm not telling you to do that. I'm telling you what the Bible said. Now, and I've tried to get the brethren together to where they could work in a systematic order, to where they could stay together. Not to take your sovereignty away from you. If I do that, then I have the Nicolaitan doctrine, which thing the Bible said God hates. And the Nicol means to conquer the laity. And that's what laity, laity means laity, and Nicol means to conquer. Conquer the laity. And I'm not trying to conquer the laity, not especially to my desire and to my head and to my decisions, but I'm trying to bring you to subjection to the Word of God. The Bible said, let everyone be in subjection to the high power. And I'm trying to bring you into subjection to that through a systematic biblical order that you might learn unity, for in unity you stand and divided you fall. Amen. If every man goes his own way and turns to his own way, it'll be as it was in the days of Solomon, the kingdom there. One went his way, another went his, and every man to his own house. And they wound up worshiping golden calves. As long as they worked through Judah and the continuity of God there, well, they had the blessing of the Lord. Now, and I tell you these things not to scold you, but to exhort you not to take your sovereignty away. If God positively speaks to you, and I know before I say this, some of you are going to take full advantage to do like you want to, whether it's God or whether it isn't God. But because a lot of folks are looking for a loophole anyway. They're not really interested in what God wants to start with. They just want to do what they want to do. And I'll tell you again, the Bible said these are self-willed people. Wandering stars that don't have the Holy Ghost without any light. The Bible, I'm telling you what the Bible said. Now, what I think about it, the Bible said these are self-willed. They despise dignities. They don't want anybody ruling over them. They're wells without water and all these things. They're going to do their own way. Now, I don't believe in overseers over the church. You don't believe in nothing. But Paul said there was overseers in the church. Amen. Now then, what I said was this. I don't want to take your sovereignty away from you. If you yourself definitely feel led to go give somebody something, go give it. I've got nothing to say about it. That's all right. I'm for it. If it's God, I wouldn't speak against it for 10,000 worlds. I wouldn't alter it. I wouldn't come against it. But I do know this one thing. Paul said, after my decease, there'll be men of your own selves that will rise up, leading people away after them. Paul said that they'd do that. Wolves. Grievous wolves, he said, and they won't spare the flock. Now, so I'm telling you these things because I believe in unity. Paul said, gather what you've got or send somebody to pick it up at a certain time. We'll take it to the saints. I believe in unity, brothers. And I believe that as long as we just give each other money, that we're never going to get anything done for God. Because if I give Jimmy my offering, and then he gives me his offering, and then I give Joe my offering, Joe gives me his offering, we ain't never going to get nothing done for God. Now, the Bible said they laid it down at the apostles' feet. You say, but Brother Pye, the Bible said they distributed unto every man as he hath need. That's exactly what we're trying to do. We're trying to give it back to you in water pipes and homes and food down here in the pens and in a church and everything we can as every man has need. I don't believe that they went around giving everybody some money and giving everybody some bread. The Bible said they took care of the widows and those that was neglected, those kind of things. But the others labored and brought it in. That's the way they did it. Now then, we got a great responsibility and got to pay bills. And if anybody gets in need, if I can help them, I will. But if a person stays in need, I can't help them, and you can't either. But if they get in need, we can work together and help them. If we have a unity. If we have a unity. Now you say, well, I feel like I know what I've got to do. Well, that's all right. I'm not against it. If that's what you got to do, and that's up to you. I'm not against it. I know what I've got to do. You know what you got to do. Now, I've not tried to take away your sovereignty from going out and preaching. I've told you from the very beginning, if you feel led to go preach, go preach. A lot of them say, well, I don't feel like that I can go out and preach. I feel like you want me here. Well, you go to the Carolinas, you go to Mississippi, you go to Mexico, you go everywhere, you ride and go here and there. Why could he can't go preach if you do? If you have all that time away, why is it you're confined here? You go to town to buy groceries, you go to visit relatives. See, so it's just Satan talking to you. I don't want to take your sovereignty away from you. I don't want to hinder you in any way. I don't want to make you subject to me because I don't want you subject to me. I want you subject to God. If I had everybody in the world subject to me, it wouldn't be worth a dime. But if I can subject you to God, it'll be a benefit to you, my brother and sister. Now, so that's why the Bible, God puts ministers up, is so you'll be subject to God through the ministry. Now, I'm watching over you to try to do what I can for you. Just give me a few more minutes. I'm going to let you go. You ain't all that tired. Just hold on just a minute now. All right, now, I just want to get across a point or two. We got young men in Christ. And I expounded this going over tonight. They say that God told them to go here and God told them to go yonder. And I know that isn't true. I said, I know that isn't true. But it's all right if they want to do it. I'm not against it. That's their business. But I'm going to ask you a question. If you go uptown and find my little Danny, he's just got to where he can yak, 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 talk a little bit. In the uptown, you find him out in the front of a department store, rambling around through the department store, or setting up on the fire wagon up there, pulling the whistle. And you go up there and say, "Hey, Daddy, what are you doing?" He say, "My daddy told me to come up here." Now, how many are going to believe that? How many are going to believe that? See, daddies isn't going to tell little old bitty toddling children that don't know where they're going to go out yonder, nor is God. God's not going to do it either. God takes care of them little fellers. That's right. If they don't pull a horn, he'll get them a horn to pull it home. Now, and then when we get to the juniors, well, juniors are going to do like they want to. As long as you're little bitty fellas, you can scare them in the church and spank them and tell them to sit down, they'll sit down. But then when they get to the adolescent state, you get a few juniors, you can't scare them anymore. They done got out of the scare. Spanking ain't going to do it. So then they're going to ramble off and go where they want to. And when you see them, they're going to say, "Daddy sent me over here." Maybe Daddy might have parked on the corner and sent him down to the store to watch him. Then get him back. But Daddy didn't send him over there. That's right, a daddy that'll sit here and send his child back over here to Monroe over here, there ain't much to him. He might take him over there or trust him with somebody that's trustworthy to go over there, but if he sends him up and down the street, a mother or daddy just ain't no mother or daddy to do that. That's all there's to. Now, so then what happens is Junior just runs off on his own. Now, he said, "Well, God sent me over here." Well, now I say this. A lot of juniors leave home, girls and boys alike, and they eventually make it on their own after they've been put in jail, kicked around, lost their virtues, battle scars of all kinds, and become a drunkard and a dope addict. They eventually grow up and they make it on their own. But what kind of ministry have you got when the devil has done you like that? Tell me something, folks. I feel you get puffed up at me. Paul said, "That ain't good." You ladies get puffed up at me. That ain't good. But now tell me, is this the truth? Bible said if a man don't know how to rule his own house, he certainly don't know how to rule the house of God. Because he likened it to the ruling of the house of God. So then Junior went over there on his own. He finally growed up. He finally made it. But he ain't got nothing after he grows up. But I tell you, the way God teaches it is a good son will stay at home. He'll learn what he's supposed to learn. And he'll stay there until he finds a good wife, which is a symbol of the church. He'll go off and pastor him a church or start him a work. And it'll be worthwhile. Otherwise, if he grows up and gets enough knowledge, he might want to be a traveling salesman. So he starts to be an evangelist and he goes off somewhere and he covers the land. But he's got it systematic. He's got something coming in. He knows what he's doing. He's not running his one that beateth the air. He's not dragging his family from pillar to post. Now you say, "Brother Pike, you mean, I'm not talking about natural families in the gospel. I'm talking about your spiritual family. Now, it's all right to drag your natural family from pillar to post for God. But I'm talking about your spiritual family, dragging them from pillar to post. God won't let you do it. A man that don't get a good job, he's going to drag his family from pillar to post in the natural. Is that right? So if that's a type, you've got to be linked up with God to keep from dragging your spiritual family from pillar to post. Now, and there's a lot of things that we could say along this line, a lot of them. But I just say these few things to let you know that a lot of times when you, brethren, tell me God told you to do this and God told you, I know better than that. But I just don't say nothing because that's your business. Like I told Brother Jim the other day, I said, "Brother Jim, I can just feel it." I said, "Something is wrong with Terry." I said, "I can just feel it." I said, "Just like I saw it out on the screen." I said, "Something's wrong and something's gonna happen." And I said, "One of the things, as far as I can tell, is probably smoking." Is that right, Brother Jimmy? Is that what happened? Already. And things have already happened to him. He's been out of the services. Now then, say, "Well, God told him to go Vienna with them Baptist folks the other day." Well, you can put two and two together and get 54 if you want to. That's up to you. Now, how many of you love the Lord?
Amen.
Amen. Let me say this in closing, folks. Let me say it in closing. Little bitty people like Danny and Joe has got no business going out here trying to get together a congregation of grown men telling them that they want to tell them what they ought to do to get to heaven. You understand what I'm saying? All right. Now, I love you, and I'm not big, and you're little, and I don't mean that. I got a lot of growing to do. And I say this. This comes to my mind, and I think I ought to say it. I said it today, and I think I ought to say it. I'm not bigger than you are. Sometimes a young boy, a little bitty boy like Joe here, little bitty boy like mine, they may have a future to be a president. They may become a millionaire. But here's the thing. Daddy, he might not have a good education. He might not have none but a $30 a week income. But as long as he's daddy, he knows best for right now. Now, you give them a little time, they might be head and shoulders above daddy. But daddy has got the answer right now. So I'm not saying I'm bigger than y'all are, and I'm not saying that you're bigger than somebody else, but I'm saying that if a parent is a parent, then he knows best for right then. Amen. Is that right? All right, let's think on those things, folks. Hallelujah. Let's bow our heads together. I love you tonight, and I appreciate you. Forgive me if I scold you. I don't mean to. But I just have so many different kind of spirits until I'm grieved so. The Bible said Jesus was grieved because of the hardness of their heart, and grieve not the minister. It's not profitable to you. But some of you grieve me continually. And I appreciate the ones that don't do that, swearing to your own hurt to keep from doing it, submitting yourselves. I appreciate it. I thank God for you tonight. Now, while we've got our heads bowed tonight for just a few minutes, I want to say that I appreciate all of you. Appreciate what you're trying to do. And if I hurt you, will you forgive me? I don't mean to. Don't never look on me as anything special or having to go through a chain of command to get to heaven, because you don't. I want it to be simple, and I want it to be plain. I'm going to ask Brother Steve Beach if he will dismiss us in prayer. Brother Steve.